Good morning. Thank you all for being here this morning. So thankful to have another opportunity to come and share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart. In the past several times I've spoken, we've been making our way through the book of Galatians. But I feel like this week, I know we mentioned Camp Jubilee, and I had the privilege, the blessing to actually be able to attend this week, and kind of want to take a step back and just share with you the experience that I had there. And if we got enough time today, we may get back into the book of Galatians. I just want to go ahead and let's go to the Lord in prayer first. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and place to come together and just sharing your word, Father, and just come to know you better and dwell upon what you have done for us and dwell upon the great things that you have done. Father, we just thank you so much for our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we ask your blessing on this meeting now. We pray that you will lead and guide it. Father, I pray that you will lead and guide my words, that you would put them in my mouth. Father, I pray that you would just keep me from saying anything that isn't true to your word. And Father, I just pray for everyone here that's listening or listening on YouTube or later on, that you would just protect them and keep them from any distractions, keep them from anything that would get between you and them. Father, we thank you so much for our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us this opportunity and place to come and study your word. Father, it's in his name we pray. Amen. So, as I said, you know, I got the opportunity to go to camp this year. Normally, I don't get to go because the way my vacation time works, I got 3 weeks, and usually I take 1 week for mountaintop youth camp and 1 week for Bible conference, and the last week is kind of split up amongst different things. But this year, you know, the camp was really needing some male counselors, and we've been praying about it and praying for it, and the Lord came through and answered prayer. He answered it in a particularly painful way. If you notice that I'm kind of walking funny up here, it's because I got this knee brace on. About 2 weeks ago, right before camp came, I was, there was a kitten stuck in a tree or something like that, something heroic. And I went out to save it, and this happened. But I wish I could say that, but as all these kind of weird stories go, it starts off, what had happened was I was playing around and it popped out. You know, my kneecap dislocated. And at the time, you know, all I could think about was, oh, now I'm going to miss work. I got to go through physical therapy. I got to go through all I could think about was myself and what I was going to do and how bad things were for me. You know, and I had to speak this Sunday, you know, a couple Sundays later, and it's going to make it hard to prepare. All I could think about was myself, and not focusing on how the Lord was going to use this in my life, because this happened for a specific reason, and it was an answer to prayer. And it was hard to see at the time when I'm sitting there screaming in pain, but, you know, as the week went on, you know, I had one person that she could really see it right off the bat, and that was Candace. You know, she immediately, not immediately, but the next day, she was like, well, Tim, now you can come to camp. And I'm sitting there, I'm on crutches, I can barely walk, I can't get in the shower by myself, I can barely do anything by myself. Honestly, I might have been able to be a camper, but she's sitting here like, the Lord has made a way. And, you know, I didn't believe in that at first. At first, I was like, are you crazy? I'm going to sit on my butt for the next week and try to heal up so I can get back to work. But as the week went on, you know, she kept talking to me about it. My knee, you know, we were praying that my knee would heal up. And as the week went on, it started feeling better and better. And, you know, I started to come around to it. And before Jared did say anything, it had nothing to do with mine, a 3D printer. We're just going to say that. We'll leave that out. But, you know, the Lord really worked on me, and by the end of the week, I was, you know, wanting to go and be a counselor. You know, it was really exciting to me. I've always wanted to have, you know, seeing Candace's love for the ministry there and the passion that she has for the special needs community, for the people there. you know, it really has inspired me and wanted me to be a part of that. And all I can say is, you know, Saturday we had our counselor orientation, and you know, that's really when the blessings of camp began for me. And seeing some of the returning counselors get up and give a testimony as to why they continue to come back and to give of themselves and to come and volunteer part of their life and to set themselves aside for a week, for a time, and focus on somebody else. And what really made me, the verse that it really made me kind of think about was Mark 12:31. We turn there. And it's a familiar verse. It's one that we all know very well. And this is when Jesus is speaking to the scribes. And we'll start at verse 28 just to give a little bit of reference. It says, "Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second, like it, is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" And I just want to focus on the second. And that's what really came to my mind, is that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And when we really dig down deep into that, you know, I felt a lot of conviction in my heart that all I was thinking about was myself. And seeing these counselors, returning counselors, get up and say, you know, how much it meant to them to come and counsel and come to give of themselves. And the one thing that really stood out to me was the fact when they say, you know, you come to serve, you come to give, but you get so much more in return. And the thought that came to my mind was thinking about the Lord's Supper. You know, the Lord's Supper this morning, if you miss the Lord's Supper, or if you don't come to the Lord's Supper, I would really encourage you to come to the Lord's Supper. For me, it's since I've been saved, it's been my absolute favorite time. Because we come and we just think about the Lord Jesus Christ, Him alone. We come and worship Him. We come and lift Him up in prayer and song. And it's just a time where you come and the focus is not on any of us. The focus is on Him alone. And the thought that I had about Camp Jubilee was that now this is what people come to do, is that they come and do like the Lord Jesus did. The Lord Jesus came to be with us and thought about us first and not Himself. And I just thought about this is really the epitome of sharing the love of Christ. And so some of the other things that were particularly a blessing to me about camp was just the people, the friends that I get to know. I think when you think about that verse we just looked at, it says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." One of the meanings of that word neighbor, you know, when we use the word neighbor, is you look beside you, that's your neighbor. Or the house you live in, you look beside you, that's your neighbor. But that word there used is also meant to use friend. You know, we think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Pre-incarnated, the Lord Jesus Christ was not our neighbor. He was not down here with us. But He came to be with us. He came to be our neighbor and dwell among us. He came to be one of us. He came to be our neighbor and love us. And that's, you know, we're told that's the only reason why we even know love, is because God loves us first. It's the only reason why we know how to love, because He loved us. And so I just think about when experiencing camp and experiencing those fellow believers and the love they have for one another, for their neighbors, and coming to serve, or the campers coming in, just the welcoming embrace. You know, one of my fears that I had going into camp was, I'm sorry, I didn't explain, but Camp Jubilee is a camp that Mount Jubilee Ministries puts on. This is not an advertisement for Mount Jubilee Ministries. I just want to explain what the camp is. But it's a camp for special needs individuals. They get to come and experience 3 or 4 days of just activities, fun. The focus is solely on them for a change. And for their families, they get to have some time off to have time away to for themselves, because they have to 24/7 give of themselves to their family member. And so they get a little bit of time that they can take off and maybe have a good meal or something like that. And they entrust us with their loved ones to take care of them. And it's just a really great ministry and just great thing overall that is going on there. And so just thinking about one of my fears going into it, you know, I was thinking about the campers. I was like, man, I wonder if they're going to accept me, if they're going to talk to me. I was kind of worried about that, of being accepted. And when you think about in our world, everyday life, you know, they're kind of usually the ones thinking about us being accepted by us. And then to have that flip-flop around, where you're there in their time, you're there with in their space, and just worried about whether they're going to talk to you and accept you. And that to me was just amazing, because, you know, I really didn't have anything to worry about. You know, as soon as I was there, everyone there was, you know, saying, hey, and how are you, and talking to me. And it really was just a blessing when see the excitement on the campers' faces when they first got there, just to see how excited they were and, you know, how much joy it brought to them. And to think that, you know, I know it's all the Lord's work, but to be able to serve Him in such a way just brings joy to my heart. And one of the things I particularly wanted to focus on that was just a really moving part to me about camp was the worship time. And that was something before, you know, when we had our orientation, that was something that everyone who had been here, part of the camp before, was telling us that, you know, the worship time is amazing. It's going to blow you away. And it really did. And particularly the thing for me was the unashamedness that they have to not be worried about what anyone else is thinking when you're singing or putting a hand up for the Lord or dancing, participating in the worship time. That to me, I think, is something that's really missing for us today. You know, I think oftentimes we look at some of the songs that we sing and we're kind of like, and you know, that's not how it is at camp. If anybody saw Elena, it's like, you know, she's just going at it. But and it makes you want to be that way. It makes you want to say, why can't I worship like that? Why can't I be on fire for the Lord like that? Not worry about what anyone else thinks, but say that I am thankful that the Lord saved my soul, that Jesus Christ came and died for me on the cross. I'm not afraid to say that. And some of the, just what made me think of this is some Psalms. And Psalm 9, chapter 9. Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Now think about those words. Think about what that says. I will praise you with my whole heart. Think about when you're worshiping God. Are you praising Him with your whole heart? Are you giving it your all? When we're singing praises to the Lord, that's worship. Are we singing as loud as we can? This is the conviction of my own heart, that I can sit over there and say, well, I just got to be a little bit quieter than Bert back there so everybody can hear Bert and not me. You know, but it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be worried about what the person next to you. You're singing to the Lord alone specifically. And to me, it's just been a very convicting thing for myself to say, have I really been giving it my all? Have I really been worshiping Him with my whole heart, or just half of it? Have I really been worshiping Him and praying to Him with my whole heart, or just a part of it? Because He wants the whole thing. He doesn't want just a little portion. And when I see Him being at camp, I got to tell you, I've been there and helping out. But man, just being there and being involved with, there's a lot of you that were here and there with me. And I know you understand. it is just an amazing experience. And it's something that you look at that and you say, I want to be like that. Well, there's no reason why you can't. I know we said we weren't going to get into the book of Galatians just yet, but turn to the book of Galatians. I believe it's chapter 3. And I know I'm going to do a little bit what we should not do. And I'm going to take this out of context just slightly. But chapter 3, verse 1, and Paul is talking to the Galatians. He says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? And that part to me, I know another translation says, uses a different word for bewitched. It's not coming to my mind, but basically hindered. It says, who has hindered you from obeying the truth? And I thought about that with my worship time. It says, who has hindered you from worshiping the way that you should? Who has hindered you from worshiping the way that you ought, from singing the way that you should? Who? And the answer is me. I'm the one that hindered myself. I'm the one that looked at the world around me and said, I don't want to sing too loud because I'm afraid of what somebody might think of my voice. And the truth of the matter is that it doesn't matter, because the Lord Jesus Christ takes that and he's the one that presents it before the Father. It doesn't matter what you sound like. He takes it and puts his voice on top of yours. And when it gets to by the time it gets to the Father, it's a sweet savor to him. He loves to hear it. And so that's just one of the great many blessings that I had from being at camp. And I know some might have been blessed by seeing me try to chase down Josh, you know, the whole time, walking up there around there like this the whole time at camp. I know they might have found some laughter out of that. I don't know, another particular joy I had was getting to know people, getting to know the campers, getting to know the fellow counselors, getting to know everybody who is involved with it, but especially the campers. And a particular amazing thing to me was, you know, some of the campers I thought I kind of knew. Even my own camper, Josh, I'll just say his first name, but most of you I would think know him. I had been around Josh and I thought I knew a little bit about Josh. And boy, by the first day, I knew I was wrong about that. Josh taught me so much about himself, you know, just from his likes, you know, before at council orientation, you know, we get a paper that kind of gives us a little bit of what their likes or dislikes are and just some of their habits, what they like to do. But it really doesn't hit, you know, their personality. And when you see, you know, particularly like for Josh, it says he likes crafts. Well, I come to find out it's not just crafts, it's coloring. You know, Josh doesn't just like to be on schedule, but Josh likes to be around people. And he likes to be up and be around and talk to people. And to me, that's something that really touched my heart, the fact that you look at people and think, well, you know, you make assumptions that they just like this. And then that's completely untrue. Well, they just don't want to do this or they like this. Now, how would you know? Unless you ask, unless you spend time. And that was the thing that particularly blessed me, was that coming to learn that you got to spend time with people in order to get to know them. And that really convicted my heart about how much time I've been spending with the Lord. And the fact that over these past few months, you know, I've had so many things going on and job changes and different things happening that I've kind of set the Lord aside. And it really was a conviction on my heart that, you know, you're not spending enough time to really know him. And so the Lord really has used that in my life to pull me back to himself, because I was the one that moved. He never moves. And so it really taught me about my relationship with God and my relationship with other people, with people that I call my friends, that I don't make the effort to go and talk to them, to pray with them, you know, to spend time with them. Instead, I worry too much about myself and the things that I want to do. And, the, you know, the things that I need and I want. And so, you know, my takeaway from this was just that what Josh had taught me through some of the lessons I had to learn with him, I can think of two particular instances where I thought I knew what Josh wanted and I was completely wrong. The first one was at the talent show. And honestly, at first, I didn't think he really wanted to be in the talent show. Well, I was wrong about that, you know, and he made that clear. But then when we got up there, you know, I was like, okay, I'll take the mic and I'll kind of talk and everything. Well, he got the mic and he he held on to it. He wanted to have his time to speak. And so I just had to project my voice out to let everybody hear our questions and stuff. But then what really got me was at the campfire. And the campfire was really just an amazing time that we had there. And the Lord really blessed it. But Josh, you know, he doesn't like to sit down for more than maybe about an hour. And he was really wanting to get up. And I was like, okay, I thought he just wanted to get up and walk around. But he kept telling me that he wanted to talk, but I wasn't listening. You know, in the campfire, we go around, we give testimonies about our week and what we have and experienced and things. And a lot of it was the campers getting up and just praising the Lord for the camp. And, you know, I made the mistake of thinking that Josh didn't want his turn to speak. You know, I made the mistake of thinking that he didn't really care about that. And, you know, he was trying to tell me that I want my turn. Everybody else is going up and sharing what they have, and I want my turn. And because the funny thing was, as soon as he got up and was able to share what he had, what the Lord had put on his heart, you know, he was perfectly fine after that. And that was a lesson for me that it's like, you need to listen more. If you think about that verse that we were at, Mark 12:31, love your neighbor, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. When we think about how many things that we do and the activities that are all centered around our own self, how much we do for our own self to care for ourselves. If we're hungry, we eat. If we're thirsty, we drink. If we want to go play something or do something, we do it. And it really, it brings to mind something Mr. Ed told me back when we were doing keyboard practice. And he said, you know, you will make time for the things that you want to do. And I thought about that it's always stuck on my mind. And I thought about that and I was like, he's completely right. If I really want to study the Bible, I will. I will make time for it. I think about how many of the times I make time to play video games. How many times I make time to make sure I mow the yard, which I'm not here lately, but we're getting to that. But you think about all the times that you make time to do something. But how many times we make excuses to do something else when we should be going to the Lord in prayer, when we should be spending time in His Word to get Him to know Him better. And most importantly, when we should be time to love our neighbor as just as we love ourselves. And so I feel like this week has really been just such a great blessing to me. But it's been a convicting week to me to show me how much I'm lacking in all these different areas, how poor of a neighbor I am being. And I just, I would encourage you, and I think we can encourage each other, that we can do better. We can make time. We can worship more. We can sing louder. We can be in the Word more. We can be closer to God. I forget who said it, but we are as close to God as we want to be. And that really is true. If you don't want to be with Him, you'll be away from the Word. If you want to be with Him, you will make time. And I'm just so thankful that the Lord Jesus, you know, He places these things on our heart, that He convicts us of these things. And now I just want to, we'll real quickly go through a little bit of the book of Galatians. If you would turn over there. And last time, we had got to chapter 2. And so we've been going through the book of Galatians, and the book of Galatians is a letter written by Paul to the people of Galatia. And Paul is writing to them because some false teachers have come in, and they are spreading a false gospel. They're saying, not only do you have to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you also got to be circumcised. You got to keep the law. And so here Paul is going through and saying that no, that's not the gospel. That's not what is required. Works have nothing to do with salvation. You can't do anything to save yourself. You can't do anything as part of salvation. It's completely and solely the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here in chapter 2, now Paul is going to recount a time that he went up to Jerusalem, his second time, and this goes hand in hand with the book of Acts in chapter 15. And it says, then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me, and I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yet yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Now, I just got to pause for a minute, because I feel like I'm moving on from what we did. I'm making a mistake, and I'm moving on from what I was talking about, and I don't want to lose that. And I had some other references and things that I want to say, and I don't want to move away from that. So I apologize. Let's turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, let's get back into, and hopefully the Lord will forgive me that mistake, and get back into what I was talking about being afraid of worshiping, and thought about Psalm 27, verse 1, says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength, is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? We think about our worship time. We think about what we do for the Lord. We think about the Lord's Supper and just witnessing to another, presenting the gospel message. We should never be ashamed of that. We should never be afraid. We shouldn't be afraid to come to someone and say, you know, Jesus saved my soul. Jesus is the reason why I'm here today. Jesus is the reason why I'm any good whatsoever. I'm not afraid to say that, because who do we have to fear? God is with us. Who can be against us? And that's just the thought that I had, and just seeing the campers there at Camp Jubilee, you know, they truly embody that. They're not afraid of what anyone else thinks. You know, they sit there and sing as loud as they possibly can. They dance to praise the Lord. You know, we do some of the silly songs there, you know. Jed knows what I'm talking about, the hippo song. And it's a silly song, but it's all in praise to God. Because, the chorus goes, hip, hip, hippopotamus. But the second part is, hip, hip, hooray, God made all of us. And that's something to be thankful for. That's something to be praiseful for. That's something to shout and to not worry about if it does sound silly. God don't see it as silly. Our Heavenly Father doesn't see it as silly when we thank Him for making us, for making each and every one of us, and putting us here on earth, putting us in the positions that we are in. That is something to shout hooray for. Turn over to Psalm 30. Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave and you have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. That right there is the gospel message. You have kept me, O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. That's what he did for each and every one of us who believe on him. We were dead in sin, but he brought us up from the grave. That's something to sing about. That's something to shout about. That's something to say, amen. And not only that, he says, you have kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Think about how much more he gives. We sung that song, he giveth and giveth. And that song could go on forever. And giveth and giveth and giveth again. He never stops. Mercy's, mercy's never ceasing. His grace never ceases. All the things he gives us, it doesn't stop when you get saved. It becomes so much more. And that's something that we should be excited about. I just think back to my brother Steve on Easter, on Resurrection Day. And, when he got us all riled up and said, would anybody know that we're excited about this? About the Lord being raised from the dead? That's something that we should be jumping for joy. And that's something that I saw out of the campers at Camp Jubilee. They were literally jumping for joy. And that was something that just amazed me, that's the kind of happiness and joy that we should be expressing to the world. Not just, huddled away and, the Lord saved my soul. Amen. We should be like, the Lord saved my soul. I'm alive. Amen. And that's something that just really has been a blessing to me, and something that has been a conviction for me as well, because I know my own self. That I hide it inside, and especially when I'm away from my chapel family, when I'm away from Candace and the kids, and I'm at work or something like that, and I'm away from everyone else, it's easy to kind of just regress and go back into the old man, go back into the old self, and not represent the Lord Jesus Christ truly, not obey his truth, not share him with everyone else, not share what he has done for me with everyone else as I should. And it's something that I need to work on, and he is working on me. And just think about how many people would be saved if we really, really expressed our inner joy. If we really shared with other people. I think about some of the brothers that get up here and they share and they got tears in their eyes just thinking about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And, I was, being there at camp and just hearing some of the things, hearing the testimonies, and, I had to hold back the tears. I'm not a kind of person that cries much in front of people, but, man, it was hard to hold back the flood of tears that were wanting to come out just to thank the Lord, just to sing his praises. And so I just kind of want to just dwell upon what we've talked about, what we've shared, what has been experienced. When we think about praising the Lord, when we think about what he has done for each and every one of us and how we represent that. And just thinking about being an example to those around us, to those in the world, and thinking about how much more that we can do, and thinking about what the Lord has done for us. Because think about if he had stopped short. If he said, all right, I'll come into the world, but that's going to be about it. I'll come and dwell with you, but I'm not going to go to the cross because I'm just not there. It wouldn't have been enough. Or if he said, well, I'm going to go, I'll dwell in the world, and I'll go to the cross, and I'll die for half the people. I'll give you one arm with a nail. I'll give you one hand with a nail. That's it. It wouldn't have been enough. He gave, what did we read earlier? Whole heart. Our Lord Jesus Christ, our God, gave his whole heart for us because he loves each and every one of us so much. Should we not do the same for him? Should we not give our whole heart, our all, our everything, and not worry about what anyone else has to say? Because we know him, because we love him, because he loves us. It's where we should be. We should be like him. And just so thankful this morning that we have a Savior, that we have a God that is true. Just as we sang, standing on the promises. We have the promises.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's just go. I know I'm going to end a little bit early again, but let's just go ahead and thank him. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, we just come to you now. And Father, give us the strength, the courage that we need to devote to you wholeheartedly. Father, without you, we're nothing. Without you, we have no righteousness. We have no goodness. We have nothing. And Lord Jesus Christ is everything. He is the only one that is good. And he's the reason why we can do anything good. Father, we thank you so much that he was willing to come and dwell with us. He was willing to become our neighbor, our friend. He was willing to stand beside us and count himself among us. Father, he was willing to give himself up for us, something that we could not do. Father, we just pray that we could have the courage to shout his name to others, to sing his praises as loud as we possibly can, to let others know that we have a Savior. We have a Savior that is risen, who died for us on the cross, but has risen from the dead and is seated in heaven right now. That he is there for us. That he saved us. That we have no doubts, not a one, of who he is, of his great name. And Father, we bow before him, we kneel before him, and him alone. Father, we are so thankful that it was your will to send him and it was his will to come. Father, we just pray now that you will lift up your people, Father, that we would lift up our voices, that we would lift up our hearts, that we would give all to you. Father, we just pray for our world that we would be a light in the darkness, not a dim light, not one that's going out, but that we would shine bright because our Lord Jesus Christ is brighter and he's the one that's inside of us that's shining through. Father, we pray that we would just move ourselves out of the way so that his light can shine on all, so that he can touch the hearts of the poor, of the needy, of those who need to hear his voice. Father, we pray that you would use each and every one here today that knows you, that loves you. Pray that you would use them in a great way to reach the lost. Father, to shine your light on them. I pray that you would encourage each and every single one of your children to not be ashamed, to not be afraid to say his name, to admit to anyone who comes their way that our Lord Jesus Christ is their Savior and what he has done for us. I pray that you would work on all of our hearts that we might better praise him, worship him, represent him, that we might better witness for him, for those who need to hear his name. Father, we thank you so much for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you so much that he is our ever-loving Savior, that he loves us no matter what, that he loves us without cause, as we heard this morning, that there's no reason whatsoever that he loves someone like me, but he does. And Father, we're just so thankful that for that very reason, we are able to love him. We are able to love you. We are able to love our neighbor. It is only because of him. Father, we come now and we give up this praise and our thanksgiving and our worship to him. And we pray that you as God and God alone and our Lord Jesus Christ get the glory. All the glory goes to you. Father, we just ask all these things and we pray these things only in His holy and precious name. Amen.